This week's sermon is A Polished Shaft by Jack Scopp. The text is Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 3.
I'd like to read the first three verses for you. Isaiah chapter 49. You follow as I read. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people, from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. It made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified.
So structurally, how do you preach on Isaiah 49, 1 through 3? Most scholars agree that this is a prophecy of Christ. Here's a possible outline. 1. The designation of Christ to his office as Savior. 2. The root of salvation that comes from Israel. 3. The plan of salvation in Christ extended to the remotest parts of the world, that is, the Isles. Or you could do it this way. 1. Christ the Savior from the womb. 2. Christ the discerner and dispenser of divine truth. 3. Christ the death of death. There are plenty of other outlines embedded in that text, but whichever way you go, you must start with the text, expound the text, show the text in its context with similar texts, and conclude with the conclusion reached in the text. Preaching the gospel requires that the preacher subordinate himself to the text and that he lift up the text for what it actually says, not for what he thinks it says and not for what he feels led to say that it says. Here is Jack Scopp's sermon. He draws attention to the phrase, made me a polished shaft. Then he starts with a story of his dad saving up and starting a mobile home park. He talks about his dad needing him to work every day and how much he liked the work. He talks about how much he liked his dad and his mother. He says that he thought his dad's dream was for him to go into business with him. He talks about how wealthy his dad is and what a good businessman he is. Then he talks about his dreams as a young man of being rich. He says at 17 years of age, something happened to him. There was a missions conference, and a preacher from the conference told him to go to Bible college. He then talks about Jack Van Impe coming and preaching at his church. Scopp emphasizes that there were big crowds. He talks about going door to door to pack the church. Then he talks about his two friends he had while growing up, religious boys who were lost. He got them to the Jack Van Impe service. He says his two friends got saved that night. He decided he'd never had as much fun as he'd had when his friends got saved. He talks about it in terms of it being a better high than making money, selling mobile homes, etc. Right there, I can see that Jack Scopp is missing a big point, but I'm going to gloss over that. He went home and prayed for 2.5 hours. He tried it again the next night, praying on his knees in his room. He asked God to make himself real to him. Note here that Jack Scopp, as he's preaching, gets into what I call the fundamentalist patter.
God, if you want some blessings, show yourself to me. Make yourself plain and make yourself real to me. I said, God, I'm young. I said, but I want my life to be given to you.
Since I've started publishing these sermons and broadcasting them, people have told me that they don't like to listen to the sermons, although they don't mind reading them. But people who have come out from First Baptist of Hammond talk about how actually the style in which the sermon is preached is geared to manipulate emotions. And I think this pattering has something to do with that. Now, we hear many preachers warn us about rock and roll music and how the beat of rock and roll music can manipulate our emotions. Well, it's also true with the cadence of spoken words. We can speak words in such a way that they manipulate emotions, that the very cadence, the beat of our language will manipulate emotions. To continue with this, Scopp did the same the next night and next and on and on and on. As this experience stretched out to more than a week, he says that this was God calling him to preach. He told his mother, and his mother jumped up and down, shouting, Praise the Lord. He found that his mother had been in a bad car accident when she was 15 years old and how she'd lived day to day. He said the doctor told his mother she would never have children. She had one child, and the doctor warned her not to have another, but she wanted a boy to give to the Lord as a preacher. And when she was pregnant, she prayed every day for a son. I guess her knowledge of biology was rather shaky, as the gender of the child is established pretty early in the pregnancy. Scopp tells how his mother prayed and prayed, and he gets into that same pattering cadence that manipulates emotion.
She says, I prayed. She says, when I found out I was expecting a child, every night I'd go to my knees and say, Oh God, give me a son. Oh God, give me a son. God, give me a son and I'll give him back to you. She's every single night.
Then he goes on and he stays in the story, continuing the story. And again, he gets into this pattering, repetitive cadence that manipulates emotion.
She says, every night for almost the first year of life, I'd rock you to sleep. My dad would sleep in bed, and I said, oh God, make Jack a preacher. Oh God, make Jack a preacher. Oh God, make Jack a preacher. Oh God, make my boy a preacher. Oh God, he gave me a son. Oh God, he is my parent. Oh God, make him a preacher now.
Well, we are past 19 minutes in a 40-minute sermon, and Scop has not yet even touched the text. It's starting to dawn on me that he is never going to preach on the text, and another horrible thought dawns on me. He is appropriating this text to himself. He talks about being successful as a soul winner, bus worker, but feeling that his heart wasn't in it. Then he launches into a very, very long story about how becoming a preacher shattered his dad's dreams of going into business together. The story is convoluted and pretty pointless, but it ends with his father weeping and telling Jack to be a preacher. He breaks into yelling about how his dad charged him to be a preacher. This has nothing to do with the text. At last, he gets back to the Make Me a Polished Staff reference, but then he goes off into another story about a guy from Africa explaining how arrows are made. I think he must be holding up a quiver as he talks about the arrow and the quiver. But he talks about how to whittle an arrow. I think he must have spent like 4 minutes on this story that explains what is already obvious to the average person. Yet, it is being verified to me that Jack Scop is claiming this verse in reference to himself, or at least in reference to all preachers. Then he switches over to Isaiah and says this verse is in reference to Isaiah. He says that God called Isaiah to stand between the living and the dead, and the crowd, by the way, is whooping. Then he asks what makes a polished shaft. He goes back to the African guy's story about making an arrow. He says that the natives go out and look for the appropriate wood, but they don't really go to look for a polished shaft to start out with. Usually they find wood with a knot or other imperfection, so they use it as a practice arrow, but once in a great while they find excellent wood with no flaws in it. Now, if this is analogy, and I think it is, this is dangerous stuff. God does not take excellent people to make them his polished arrows. God takes depraved sinners and makes them his saints. Christ is the polished arrow. And it is astounding, but I think Scop is really saying that excellent preachers are men without the flaws of ordinary men. I can't figure it out any other way.
He needs something that's not going to break up under pressure. He needs something that's going to go fly straight to his mark and not go off to the right or to the left. He needs something that's going to go straight down there and go right to the heart of the beast. Smite him dead.
There is more to say about this sermon, but we'll have to save the rest for another time.